I want us to go to the book of Romans today. We're going to look at some scriptures. As we think about Easter, I'll start this message this morning and try to finish it next week. But as I've been praying and thinking about the cross, a lot's being said about the cross and all over the world today, next Sunday. But as I began to really study and ask the Lord, I said, Lord, I want something fresh. I mean, the blood will never lose its power, and the story of crucifixion and all that will never lose its power. But as Jerry was saying this morning, there's always more. There's something deeper. And when I began to really study and break down some history and do some research, my faith was renewed and even strengthened of how detailed our God is. That God has a plan, and God works that plan, and nothing hinders that plan. We may say it hinders, our plans were hindered, but in God's eyes, nothing hinders His plan. He's a prophetic God. He's a real God. And I like to say it this way. He's a real God in a real world, meeting real needs in our lives. And I pray this Easter season, your faith will be strengthened and encouraged as we learn about the truth of what God really did and what He went through. It's been called a mystery. It's been called a mystery, and the word relates to that. But I want us to look in Romans chapter 11, and we'll explain more about mystery. But it said, and of course, Paul here is dealing with God's love for Israel and his message. He was an ambassador to the Gentiles. For God came to the world and did what he did, orchestrated by the plan of God, because he loved all of us. He needs all of us, and we need him, not just the Jew, but the Gentile. Aren't you glad that God doesn't separate us in categories? He loves us all the same. And Paul is dealing with that, and he's trying to explain to his audience that God's love goes from one end to the other. And in your Bible study, read that and you'll be blessed. But for time's sake, I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures here. In chapter 11, verse 21, it says, "For if God spared not the natural branches." Now, as I begin to read this, I want you to understand that every word in God's Word, I've said this a lot, but I want to say it again, is critical. Every word's important. And so he begins to talk about natural branches. "Take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail, severity but toward thee, goodness if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again." And what he's talking about here is a natural branch, and he's talking about that God has a way of taking us and making us a part of the family. Now let me keep on reading. Verse 23, "For they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them again." Now, let me explain to you. Remember last week we talked about that Easter is a symbol. Easter is an occasion. Easter is a sign to us that we have access to God. Every one of us, no matter what our life is, no matter what we've been through, no matter where we've been, we've got access to God. And when I begin to learn and study more about that, God paid a tremendous price for you and I to do that. Look at verse 24. "For if thou wert cut off the olive tree, which is wild by nature." Now hold on. There's a natural branch. There's a natural, and then there's a wild. Hold that thought. Because when I begin to study this, it just jumped out to me. There's two different people in the world. The Jews thought that they were the natural. They thought that we automatically are going to make it in. And then the Gentiles were the wild bunch. They were the ones who didn't deserve anything. But how many of you know when God went to that tree, he went for everybody? "For whosoever believes." in Him. Now He paid a price for that. He made a way. You see, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, He closed the door. You got to understand, we were doomed. But God made a way, not just for the Jew, but for Gentiles alike. For whosoever will, no matter what your past is, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you've done, God loves us. Isn't that awesome? Now, there's more to it. You remember I told you I love the Word of God, because about the time you think you pretty much understand that part, He'll carry you a little bit deeper. So there was a natural. There was a natural. Now, an olive tree was the tree used, the wood used. Did you know that the olive tree was the wood that was used in the tabernacle? Did you know that the olive tree was the one that Jesus died on? We're going to get into all that in just a second. Got you thinking now. And He says here, verse 24, "For if thou wert cut off of the whole olive tree, which is by wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree?" Verse 25. "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery." Now I want to start right there. There's a mystery of the cross. Why did God choose a cross? Why was it a cross? Why wasn't He stoned? We're going to get into that in just a minute. But He used a cross. Look what it said. "I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery. I don't want you to be ignorant of the mystery of the wild and the natural. I want you to understand that God has an infinite detailed plan that you and I can't figure out. But God is working His plan even now, even though we can't figure out what's going on. Right now we're going through things in our lives that we can't understand, and we just can't figure it out. We just cannot reason why or what is going to happen. But God has an infinite detailed plan, and nothing will hinder that plan." Amen. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. I don't want you ignorant. Paul is sitting here trying to explain what he's dealing with now. What Paul is doing, he's teaching them Old Testament history. He's teaching them Old Testament history. And the olive tree and the natural branch and all of that is critical when you understand the whole concept of God. God uses every detail to bring about His fulfillment of His plan for you and me. The enemy may think he's winning when he conquers this, but little did he know, but God is using the enemy to fulfill the plan of God. Amen. God, ladies and gentlemen, is still on the throne. He's still God. He's still in control. And there's no other name likened unto His name. Amen. Amen. So He don't want us to be ignorant. "For if I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in." What's he talking about? Paul's deep, so you got to kind of go deep with him to kind of understand what he's talking about. It's a mystery. The cross is a mystery, and it's black sometimes. We can't understand all the pieces. But God is working out a plan, not only for the Jew, but for the Gentile. Verse 26. "And so all Israel shall be saved." That is written. "There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto thee, when I shall take away their sins." And look at verse 28. "As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes." Well, that's kind of confusing reading right there. You got to kind of back up and read. But really what he's saying is God had a plan. God had a plan to bring mankind together. God had a plan to put the Jew and the Gentile together, and that together we would be able to meet Him. Now let's look at that plan a little bit this morning. I want to talk about the mystery, because why would a God send His only begotten Son? Why would God give up something so precious as that for you and I? Why would you know? And there's always whys. But let me put this in your mind as we begin this morning. Because I'm going to take my time because I want you to get this. God has a plan. And whatever you're dealing with right now, and I feel the anointing of God in this house this morning. Whatever you're dealing with right now, God has a plan in it. Now the reading that I just read to you, you're going to have to go back and read it again because half of you didn't even hear what I was saying because it's kind of complicated. But I guarantee you this, get this. No matter how complicated your life is right now, don't block God out by telling him I already know the end of the book, because you don't. Because we don't know what holds tomorrow, but we know who holds tomorrow, don't we? God has a plan. Turn to the woman side of you and say, God has a plan. And if I don't say another thing today, if I close my Bible and walk out right now, I have preached this morning because God has a plan for our lives, no matter how detailed or complicated it might be. Our ways are not His ways. His ways are not our ways. But I'll guarantee you this, God has never lost a battle yet. Amen. I can sit on the sidelines confused and dazed and saying, I just can't figure it out. But that's when I have to lean not to my understanding, but to lean to one that is greater than I am and know that He's able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what I think or even ask. Glory to God. So God chose a cross. Now, why was a cross required for execution? Because you know in the Bible days, a blasphemer had to be stoned. Didn't they call Jesus a blasphemer? Yeah, it was just so. When I see the hand of God, right now you don't see it maybe where you're at. But when you see the hand of God, He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Well, God, I feel like you're a million miles away. That's when He's the closest. Now, they required a blasphemer to be stoned. Why didn't God just use stoning? Because the body, here's the thing, the blasphemer's body had to be burned. God is awesome. How many of you know there's scars in His hands? There's scars in His feet. Do you remember when he was here on earth for a few days and He showed Thomas His hands, showed him His side? You know when you're healed, when you can look at the scar and it don't hurt no more. Jesus bore scars in His body. God is so awesome. Isn't it amazing that He knows how to do everything? Amen. Isn't it amazing that God don't need us to help Him? He knows it all. And so He didn't allow them. You remember when they didn't break Jesus' legs on the cross and all that. God has every detail worked out and we can't see it most of the time. But he was a blasphemer. I called him a blasphemer. But they didn't stone him. Because the blasphemer's body had to be burned. And if he had been burned, his body had been destroyed. The scars would have been destroyed. And he wouldn't be able to come back and show us today that that's what he went through for you and me. So why was Christ crucified? I got a couple of reasons that I want to give you this morning and next week. The cross, number one, was a fulfillment of prophecy. In Psalms 22, I'm not going to read that to you right now, but in your study this week, I want you to read that. The crucifixion was a fulfillment of prophecy. Prophecy is the foretelling of the mind of God. Crucifixion was a detailed plan that God orchestrated in His mind when Adam and Eve fell. God knew He was going to bring redemption. So in Psalms 22, and this is so awesome because you got to understand that Psalms 22 was written probably 1,000 years before the crucifixion. But as you read in Psalms 22, you'll see quotes that Jesus actually made on the cross. Quotes like, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Things that would happen at the cross were quoted in there. They cast lots for his garments. You remember that? things that happened at the crucifixion. They pierced his hands and his feet. And also in Psalms 22, it talks about them walking by the cross and wagging their heads and mocking him. And when I read that, it encourages my faith that over 1,000 years before it ever happened, God anointed people to write it down. Is that a big God? To the very detail. Now, I don't know why I'm hanging up on this point right here, but it's for somebody this morning. Every detail of your life is being worked out right now by God. Just let that sink in just a minute. 1,000 years before the crucifixion ever happened, these people were writing down exactly what was going to happen. So prophecy, the cross was a fulfillment of prophecy. God said, I'm going to use this. The second thing, the cross was fulfillment of certain symbolisms that were established in the Old Testament by Moses. The cross was a fulfillment of certain symbolisms. The cross is a symbolism. In Numbers 21, I've done a lot of study in this, and I want you to get this. So I'm going to be like a teacher this morning because I want you to be able to get this and put it in your spirit. In Numbers chapter 21, just write it down. You remember when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and they were being bitten by fiery serpents? Do you remember what God said? Do you remember the order that he gave in there? He said, take a brass pole and a brass snake. You ever seen that symbol? A brass pole and a brass snake. And he said, in Israel, for the children of Israel in the wilderness, he said, if you look upon this, you'll live. Now that's in the wilderness, in the Old Testament, years and years and years before Christ would be crucified. That's awesome. In John chapter 3, verse 14, John makes reference to this very fact when he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Now what does all that mean? You got to understand that God has a plan, and the crucifixion and the cross is a part of that plan. He refers to Numbers, and brass is a symbol. Brass is a symbol, and I just paused a minute this morning, and I want to give God the praise for taking every detail that we read in this Bible, and sometimes we read over it, but God wants us to understand when John spoke in this, he was referring to the incident in Numbers where God said, if you look upon it, you will live. Now, when men were bitten by the fiery snake, you were to hold up that brass, and that snake wrapped around it. It wasn't a real snake, it was a snake of brass, and as they looked at it, the poison would leave their body. Now think about that. Christ, you got to get this point right here. I'm so full this morning. Y'all just see me standing here, but I'm actually jumping up and down. Because when I realize that God has all power and authority over any enemy that comes against your life, that's enough to shout about right there. Amen. God has the power over the enemy, and the crucifixion and the cross looked like that the enemy had won. But all he did was line up with the plan of God, because the ultimate victor is God Almighty. And whatever you're facing this morning in your life, you are going to be a winner because you got God on your side. Amen. Now why was it brass? Why didn't God use gold? Well, in Exodus chapter 12, just for reference sake, men worship gold. They still do that, don't they? Men worship gold. And so he didn't make it out of gold, he made it out of brass. In the book of Judges, chapter 8, verses 24 through 27, you remember when Gideon took up an offering and then he built a golden ephod. People worshiped the gold. God, in his detailed mind, did not want them to focus on the gold. He wanted them to focus on him. Get this. Let's break it down a little bit further. Brass represents humanity. Brass represents humanity. Jesus was going to come in the form of a human. This is so awesome. Are you getting anything out of this? Jesus, hold up that brass and that snake, that brass snake, hold it up and you'll be healed. You'll be delivered. That was a symbol of what was to come. That Jesus was coming. Amen. He was coming in human form. That's why he chose brass and not gold. Isn't that awesome? Brass is a symbol of humanity. He would come in human form and he would break the back of the enemy. Glory to God. And if you look at him, you'll be delivered. Praise God. Amen. It was a symbol. Jesus was to come in human form. It was a symbol as that snake was on a brass pole. It represents this. Listen. In the Old Testament, in the wilderness, when they'd hold that snake up on a brass pole, thousands of years to come, there would be an almighty God in the form of flesh who would hang on a tree and do the same thing that it did in the wilderness. Amen. Now I figured y'all be doing backflips by now. Amen. Are you glad you're saved? Do you know a tremendous price was paid for that? Do you know it just didn't happen? Do you know it was a foretold plan of God that you'd be sitting here today delivered by Him? That you would be set free because God made a way for whosoever call upon Him, we shall be saved. So the number two thing was that the cross was a symbol. And every time you see a cross, every time you see a cross on a person's neck or in the yard or whatever, you be reminded that there's an almighty God who stood in the gap for you so that when the enemy would come at you to destroy you, all you got to do is look at that brass pole and that brass snake and know that God is on your side and you're going to win the battle. Amen. Give me just a few more minutes so I can give you the third thing. The cross was the fulfillment of redemption. I want you to get that. The cross is a fulfillment of redemption. Now, redemption requires blood. Just write this scripture down in Hebrews 9:22. It says, without the shedding of blood, there's what? No remission of sins. In Leviticus 17:11, it said, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Christ's body and His blood that flowed through His body set us free from sin. Y'all believe that? We do this every Sunday morning. The only fear I've ever had is that people take it for granted. I want to tell you the most sacred thing we do in this church is right up here every Sunday morning. You want to know why? Because when they pass this out right here, do you understand without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin? Do you understand? Have you ever been claustrophobic and you were put somewhere and you didn't want to be and you just want to get out? How would it be this morning to know that we have no way, no escape? All our life is we are doomed. God loved us, for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, and He didn't just do it on a whim. He planned out from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. People say, I don't need the Old Testament. Well, I want to tell you, let me go on record and tell you, I need every bit of it. I need every ounce of it. I need every verse of it. Because it just tells me a story of a God who is more than able to take care of me. And not only is He more than able to take care of me, He's working out a plan to take care of me. Amen. What is your plan for the next 5 years? Well, I believe we're to make plans in the physical world, but I want to tell you the ultimate plan is that God is in control. He's on the throne, and He's going to make a way in where there is no way. Amen. Christ's body, the blood that flowed through His body. Now, we all know, well, let me just give you this. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. Have y'all got about another hour? Y'all give me about another hour? One person. Are y'all getting anything out of this? I want you to get something out of it. I know it's not the typical preaching on Easter, but I want you to get some deeper roots into it. I'm giving you the word this morning. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it tells us that Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had to be conceived by the Holy Spirit. We got a bad God. Our God is awesome. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit because God needed pure blood. Have I lost you? The blood type of a child comes through the father. If Christ had no earthly father, where did the blood come from? Got you thinking? All of a sudden, Western citizen ain't that important right now. Amen. Only two people in the world have ever had supernatural births. Who can tell me who they were? Every one of you stand after school today. Amen. Number one was Adam. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, supernatural birth. Who was the next one? Okay, I'll let you out. Christ had to be conceived of the Holy Spirit because God needed pure blood. He's got a plan worked out for you just as great as that. Pure blood. Hebrews 9:22. I already read it to you. Without shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Christ became a sacrifice on Calvary because of His blood. I want to tell you something. I hope and pray that this don't ever get old to y'all. I hope and pray it don't ever get old to you, because I want to tell you something. Every time we symbolize, you're talking about symbols. You were talking about symbol a while ago. The cross was a symbol. This is a symbol. This is a symbol. Everything we do here at Northview's got a meaning to it. We just don't do it to do it. We just don't do it to pass time away. We do it because it is our foundation. And you know what? I love the hymns we sing, because I was thinking about it this week. Thank God for some singing that's got some foundation. Well, some of the message goes on today. I don't know. I know God says it. I don't know what they're talking about. Amen. But what I'm talking about is that God has an awesome plan, and Easter's more than an Easter egg or an Easter bunny. It is an almighty God who designed a plan when it seemed like there was not a plan. And Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit. And Mary said, I've never known a man. Certainly true. I still believe in the virgin birth. Amen. I still believe in the virgin birth, because you want to know why? My salvation is dedicated and balanced on that, because without that, I would not be saved today. But God so loved me enough that He chose a virgin who never knew impurity and took on her a God, the third person of the triune, the Holy Spirit, and He conceived into her. And listen, the moment Jesus was conceived, blood started flowing through that body. Amen. And that blood was from the throne of God. And today, when you're going through something in your life, you can call on Him and you won't catch Him by surprise. He's got a plan. I'm going to stop right here, because I got a lot more to tell you. And hopefully we'll get through it most of all next week. But we're going to talk about the tree next week. And this is where the natural branch and the wild branch, it's going to blow your mind where they came from in the Bible. It is so clear that a Jew and a Gentile, just where the tree grew. Now you got to come back next week to find out where the tree grew. Amen? Because I'm telling you, God is so awesome. He will use a tree to perform his work. Don't get me to preaching this morning. It'll be here another hour. Do you remember when they were crossing the Red Sea or getting ready to cross the Red Sea? They took a old stick. You remember that old stick? Throw it in the ocean. Guess what it did? Split the water. Not only did it split the water, this is how my God is an awesome God. Not only did it split the water, but they went on dry ground. Now how are you going to do that? Because God. Now I don't know what you're going through today, but I've just given you some simple facts. I hope it wasn't boring to you, because I knew I had to preach something different this year, because I just don't want to be what everybody, I don't want to say what everybody else says, and let's just run out to the buffet, because I want to tell you something. It means something to me. And the older I get, the more I realize I need Him. And when I begin to think about the plan that God has for me and the plan that God has for you, and it is so detailed, and we thought that we took a detour, but it was just in the plan of God. It wasn't according to our plan, but it was according to His plan. And when it all gets down to the end, you're going to arrive at the same place at the same time, because God's a God of awesomeness. Father, we thank You, Lord, today that You sent Your Son conceived of the Holy Spirit, that He would have pure blood, no undefiled, no unrighteousness, nothing wrong. It would be pure, pure blood. Because without the shedding of blood, it says, God, there is no remission of sins. And God, Your ultimate price for sending a cross was that this blood would be shed for a covering of our sins. And the enemy thought that he orchestrated a plan and that he had actually destroyed Jesus. But all he did was fall into the plan that You had all along. Because without that shedding of that blood, we couldn't be saved today. But because You did spill Your blood and it did run down Calvary's hill, we can call on Your name today 24/7 and say, God, I need You in my life. Forgive me, Lord, and You will forgive us. Thank You, Lord, for the prophecy of the cross. Thank You, Lord, for the symbolism of the cross. And God, I just thank You so much today, Lord, for the redemption of that cross. I thank You, God, that because of Your love for us, we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you this morning.